Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. Ecstatic to be with you this week. Cicely here. It's RNC week as we continue coverage out of the 2024 RNC convention, coming, of course, out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as former President Donald Trump, the obvious and obviously predicted Republican nominee for the 47th run for the President of the United States. Now, if you're new here, welcome to the channel. I appreciate having you here. Please spread the word and invite someone else to join you next time. For those returning, welcome back. Appreciate those ride and die, those that tune in and listen on a regular basis. Great to be with you. My ask is always the same, whether you're brand new or returning, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's haps. So I mentioned it on the last episode as it was announced while I was recording that J.D. Vance is Donald Trump's vice president pick. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! So going forward, this is the Trump-Vance team going for the bout for president and VP of the United States for the 47th slot. I am so pleased. I am so pleased with this pick. I am so enthused about this pick. I'm excited and encouraged about his pick because Donald Trump went with a person who is strong and educated. He's gritty. He's a millennial. He's hard fought and he's principled. This guy has a fantastic story. This is a guy who understands and knows struggle. And if I may praise the man a little bit, let me do that, okay? Because I really, really like J.D. Vance. Donald Trump's choosing of J.D. Vance was the vice president pick that really came kind of out of surprise. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit because I think that everyone had become accustomed to presidents kind of picking, you know, along these DEI dictated lines. But Donald Trump's choosing of J.D. Vance as vice president, what has brought a wave of excitement and admiration within the Republican Party. This is a man born into the working class family of Middletown, Ohio. Vance's journey from a challenging upbringing to becoming a national figure is nothing short of inspirational. Now, I'm not sure if everyone knows the documentary of his life is and his struggles. He wrote a best-selling memoir called Hillbilly Elegy, which I believe is still actually a movie on Netflix right now, if you'd like to catch it. Now, it stars that, you know, that rabbit-boiling, crazy, home-wrecking star, Glenn Close. Okay, now, she, Fatal Attraction. But she doesn't look anything like she did in the movie. Okay, but that's who's playing the mother. Or playing the lead female figure. I'm not sure if it's a mother or if it's a grandmother. I don't want to spoil it because I actually haven't seen it, so I'm going to go watch it now. But he's written this memoir about his life. Now, that's the role she played in the movie, okay? I'm not calling her that. That's the role she played in Fatal Attraction in case you needed a reference because she doesn't, like I said, look anything like she did in Hillbilly Elegy and Fatal Attraction. The movie, and most importantly, and accurately, the book is what really truly sheds light on the socioeconomic hardships faced by many in rural America. And despite these obstacles, Vance excelled academically, ultimately graduating from Yale Law School. He's a great figure for the Republican ticket because he's a millennial. He is young. He is actually going to be the youngest vice president pick in American history. This is fantastic. He's breaking records here as well. But he's young and relatable and reflects the tent of expansion of the Republican Party. His story resonates with many Americans who see in him a testament to the values of hard work and perseverance and the transformative power of education. This is important. This is so very important right now in this moment because many people believe it's this demographic that are actually feeling the most despair and believe that Joe Biden and his administration has driven away, right? So that demographic feels like the Joe Biden and his administration doesn't care about them, that they've driven away their savings, their buying power, and ultimately their futures as secure Americans. But Vance's political evolution is equally compelling. I think what is so incredible is that he was an anti-Trumper. This guy used to be anti-Trump hardcore. Initially critical of Donald Trump during the 2016 election, Vance has since become one of Trump's staunchest allies. And he was asked about this shift in an interview. How did you go from becoming an anti-Trumper to now becoming one of his, loudest supporters? And he simply said, Trump proved him wrong. And that is the real threat of Donald Trump that has the Democrats shaking in their boots. Many have and continue to recognize that not only has Joe Biden squandered their money, squandered their safety and their future, but he and Kamala, they lied. And Joe Biden reneged on his promises, causing people to actually think back to when Donald Trump was in office and what their lives were, how much money were in their wallets and the future prospects were like, right? They remember that. His shift from an anti-Trumper, meaning J.D. Vance, his shift from being an anti-Trumper to Trump's VP as a pick underscores a remarkable journey of reconciliation and alignment with the broader vision for America's future, meaning that it's actually going to be Donald Trump and his policies and his presence that's actually going to do what Joe Biden said he was going to do and failed, actually unite the country, bring the country together. Vance's ability to bridge his past reservations and fully embrace Trump's agenda speaks to his pragmatic and forward-thinking approach to leadership. What he brings to the table is a deep understanding of the struggles facing everyday Americans, combined with his intellectual prowess and newfound alliance with Trump, positions him as a formidable and unifying figure within the Republican Party. Things just got more interesting and have gotten to be all heck of a lot more fun. I am super excited. Now, while I'm recording this, it's day two of the RNC. Actually, it was last night. It's day three, the morning of day three. We've heard a lot of great speeches so far. What we've really seen is coming out of the woodwork, a lot of formal adversaries and or opponents to Donald Trump coming out and getting on stage and actually endorsing him on day two in particular. We've had a lineup of speakers who highlighted the party's vision and unity. Among the notable speakers were former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. You know, we've done a lot of shows on Nikki, who addressed the delegates with a message of cautionary optimism and resilience. Okay. Now, as you know, I'm not a big fan of Nikki Haley. I made that very, very clear. I find that she can be double-minded and wavy in her stances on particular issues. I was also turned off by her attacks of Donald Trump. I think her posture of challenging him or basically threatening him or attempting to threaten him was distasteful, and I thought it was absolutely foolish. I mean, to threaten Donald Trump by saying that he basically needed her in order to win November was laughable. And considering where we are right now, and here she was, but by the grace and intelligence and the strategic maneuver of Donald Trump, perhaps some grace and forgiveness by Donald Trump as well, she was invited by him. Because he just ultimately understands that it's about the vote, it's about the American people, it's about unifying the party and ultimately unifying the American people. So he was gracious enough to be forgiving, invite her to speak, and thereby being very strategic and accomplishing what needs to get us focused on what we need to do here in America. The one thing she needed was to be gracious herself. And I think that she at least showed some grace by accepting to show up and speak. She endorsed him right away. She said something to the lines of, let me be very clear right up front. Donald Trump has my full and strong support, my endorsement. We also heard from Senator Tom Cotton, who shared his insights on national security, while Governor Ron DeSantis focus on state leadership and conservative values. In fact, he gave my favorite tag of the night, and it was something like this. America cannot afford another 4 years of a weekend at Bernie's presidency. Now that is a savage truth. Other key speakers included Senator Tim Scott, who emphasized economic growth and opportunity, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who discussed the importance of legislative priorities in the upcoming election. Listen, clearly the enthusiasm for the Republican Party is at a high. American spirit is at a high. And the unity across the board has everyone feeling inspired and invigorated to pitch in to get Trump across the finish line, which, of course, will be particularly important in those swing states. Now, we've seen CNN. Now, I love nothing more than to see a depressed and somber CNN and MSNBC panel, okay? And it was really great to see them actually have to make some admittance that the Republican Party looks great. The unification is actually a threat to the Democratic Party. And they've got a whole lot of work to do and make some decisions as to how they're going to figure out all of the infighting, whether they're going to allow Joe Biden to go ahead and become the nominee or not, take him in, leave him out. Who knows what they're going to do there? So the Democratic Party has a lot of work. Meanwhile, it's all smiles and high spirits on our side. We heard from Governor Youngkin of Virginia, who said that he doesn't necessarily believe that West Virginia will win, but he believes that they can come a whole lot closer. That means moving more people towards the Republican Party, but more so leaving them with hope, right? And unifying people, of course, winning it overall. That's important and a state to watch for these upcoming months. We had Vivek Ramaswamy, who seems to have won the prize for speeches on night two. He said, and I quote, "We are in the middle of a national identity crisis right now. Faith, patriotism, hard work, and family have all disappeared, only to be replaced by gender, race, sexuality, and climate. But we're not going to win this race by criticizing the other side. We're going to win this by standing for our vision of who we really are." He talked about sealing the border on day one. He talked about getting rid of the deep state and having people who are actually in the government actually run the government, not state groups, not individuals and donors, not unelected bureaucrats of the deep state. He made the comment that these are not black ideas or white ideas or even Republican or Democrat ideas, but American ideas. Again, speaking very deeply and referring to the unification of the American people. He made the statement that was the most memorable for me, and that was that the media knows but won't report or admit that Donald Trump is the president who will unite this country. And we see that happening right now. It's been trending since all the pileups of his lawsuits, the mugshots, the false statements and slanderous people on the attack of him and his entire family. And most recently, of course, the attempted assassination. Of course, we heard from his daughter-in-law, RNC co-chair Lara Trump, who had a very sentimental speech. She really talked about how Donald Trump is an endearing person and that she wished that people knew the father-in-law and the grandfather that he is and those attributes that a lot of people don't get to see. But I think that American people are getting a sense of who Donald Trump actually is. And so that being a really great kind of a lead-in to what I want to address here. I want to address this Amber Rose controversy as she appeared on day one of the RNC. Here, just so you know, I like to do this. I'll give you a little background, as I always do, for those of you who are not familiar with who Amber Rose is. Amber Rose is a rapper, somewhat. She's done a few singles here and there, I guess if you want to call her that. She's done some songs. She's a model, TV personality, influencer. She's an entrepreneur and a video vixen, actually, is what she truly is. That's what she started as. She's known for having dated Kanye West for 2 years, stripping in clubs, marrying a rapper named Wiz Khalifa in 2013, and then ultimately filing for divorce in 2014, a year later. She most is known for her OnlyFans page and being the face of and leading the LA-based Slut Walk in October of 2015. And so this is where the controversy is because of all the things that she's been associated with and her loud voice to a lot of very anti-conservative policies. She's said to honor all women, right, during the Slut Walk. This was the kind of the mission statement. The Slut Walk was to honor all women who have been judged and demeaned for their sexual behavior. Now, apparently, she's Christian now and endorsed Donald Trump after criticizing him in previous years. So there's all kinds of controversy of her speech. So her appearance at the RNC saying that it sends a bad message to have her there. Okay, Amber Rose's speech at the RNC sparked both excitement and controversy. Supporters of her presence argued that her participation highlighted the party's commitment to inclusivity and diversity. They praised her for using her platform to reach out to younger, more diverse voters, believing that her unique background and visibility in popular culture could bring fresh perspectives and attract new supporters to the Republican cause. That's a strong argument. Her message of personal responsibility and overcoming adversity really resonated with many delegates who saw her as a powerful symbol of empowerment. On the other hand, because there's always two sides to a coin, there's always another side to the pancake, right? On the other hand, critics of Rose's presence at the convention expressed apprehension about her alignment with the party's core values. They questioned the appropriateness of featuring a celebrity known for her controversial past and outspoken views, fearing it could alienate traditional conservative voters. Particularly, we heard the loudest voice in this, and what kind of really got it started because he has such a strong following was Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire. And The Matt Walsh Show was probably, again, the most outspoken about this in her presence at the party's decision to have her speak. And this is what he wrote in X, and I quote, "The RNC gives a primetime speaking slot to a pro-abortion feminist and self-proclaimed slut with a face tattoo whose only claim to fame is having sex with rappers. Truly an embarrassment. Not a single voter will be mobilized by this person." So some delegates felt that her appearance might overshadow more policy-focused discussions and detract from the party's message of unity and conservative principles. I think where Matt Walsh is coming from, I think this is his point. His retort after that controversial statement, or that statement in general, I don't know what's controversial about it, but his retort to answer back to all the people on X was that Republicans have been burned and embarrassed many times by embracing celebs and others who say they like Trump, only to be shamed when their policies, their true beliefs or actions contradict the party's values. In other words, what he's saying is that we tend to flock to celebrities who used to be or say they were Democrat. They say they like Trump, endorse him, and then we go all excited, not understanding what their true policies are, and that we can't just allow one person to represent the whole entire party. I think it's important to just win. Okay. My focus on is just winning. That's my stance, to win, to stop the losing. Now, I wouldn't embrace the woman or have her speak at any events that I do. I wouldn't have her speak at a church. Okay. And I do think we need to do a deep dive as to where she falls on certain issues, but I'll take the vote. Okay. The whole point of the Republican Party and this unification thing is about opening and spreading the tent so that we can stop losing and do what we need to do to get our society back on track. Now, in his defense, Matt Walsh is not saying that she can't vote. He's simply saying that if the party insists on having a set of values, then putting someone up who has been a conservative for about 42 seconds, and she said in his retort, this is what he said in his tweet, is probably not the best decision or best image for the party. But the division highlighted the ongoing debate within the party about balancing broad appeal with maintaining ideological consistency. And I think as we continue to expand the party, we're going to have this. We're going to have some bumps and it's going to be a bumpy road to kind of open that tent, allow people in who were maybe thought that they were excluded before. We probably have to figure out a way to smooth this over. I just want to win. Okay. That is my focus for us to get to win. We need to get on the winning side of the political societal war. This is why I like J.D. Vance, the J.D. Vance pick. And incidentally, when I talked about that somber CNN panel, we heard from one of Obama's advisors, and he said that the most damaging of night one was hearing from Amber Rose, and that is going to have a significant impact to Democrat voters coming over to the Republican side because she has such a strong following. This is why the J.D. Vance pick and the candidate ticket Trump Vance is so important. It's through Donald Trump and the future with a J.D. Vance that it's actually the Republican Party that will welcome the most people. It's the Republican Party that will be for the working class and the middle class and poor Americans. People have had it for the last 4 years. They've had it with the Squad, the gross and egregious anti-Semitism, attack on children through educational indoctrination, trafficking of both children and adults. They're overrun with the fentanyl and the narcotic overdoses and the cartel rule. the erasure of the rule of law, gender ideology, CRT, DRI, affirmative action, and the eradication of our borders and safety in the middle class. They want America back. They want to wave their flags. They want to go to the beach and eat hot dogs and walk their dogs and go to the cabin and see a baseball game. They want to buy a home. They want to have cocktails for happy hours with their friends. They want to send their kids to college, make a decent wage, take vacations, and sleep safely at night. This is the spirit of the RNC. Can you feel it? Can you smell it? Can you sense it? We're on our way to a victory. Victory is in our midst. We're on our way to winning, right? Victory is in our sights. The speeches of the EDA, I'm loving it. Everyday Americans, right? They have everyday Americans speaking at the RNC right now in between some of these political celebrities. And it's been really wonderful to hear from everyday Americans and what their plight is and what it's like and how they want Donald Trump. Remembering again what it was like prior to this Biden-Harris administration. This was a very brilliant addition to the RNC this year. Hearing from EDAs inspired others to reminisce, like I said, about the Trump candidacy of old and work to get it back. The Trump Vance ticket, savages. Trump Vance. That's the winning ticket. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, just like the shirt says, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.